Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text is the epistle lesson that you just heard read here, especially from verses 13 and 14. For if the blood of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of our flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Our theme is a spiritual offering. We've been talking about this in the Bible study, the book of Hebrews. Maybe a simplistic way of looking at this is in the Old Testament, you have the tabernacle in the middle of Israel as it's moving through the wilderness. And that's a picture of the church as it moves through this life. And wherever the children of Israel are caused to stop, the tabernacle is set in the middle, and then all the tribes are around it. God is in the midst of his people in anticipation of the fact that when our Lord Jesus comes, he lives in the middle of human sinners, flesh and blood sinners, you and me. And we see that in the gospel reading for today, where people don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. It's interesting in John's gospel where he seems to reveal more about who he is to those who are offended by him and object to him, to the point where in the end of the gospel reading, Jesus reveals himself, I am, which is God's name. I am the one who is, the name revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai. Well, that's in the Old Testament that you have the tabernacle and all the sacrifices and all the stuff going on daily in the temple, in the tabernacle, eventually then in Jerusalem, every day, morning and evening sacrifices, then the various special days out of the year and the new moon observance, the new month and so on. It's very obvious what's going on. If you went anywhere near the temple, you smelled the smells, you saw the smoke, you heard the chanting and singing. And yet here is Jesus who comes to establish a new covenant, a new testament. St. Paul refers to this in Colossians chapter 2. He says, all of these things were a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. In other words, that whole Old Testament, all of the sacrifices and everything was building up to what Jesus came to do. That's why in John 5, Jesus says, you read Moses and the Old Testament covenant prophets, they're talking about me. And so everything that Jesus came to do is in the Old Testament, and yet he fulfills it and brings to life what it really was aiming at. With our theme, a spiritual offering, we're emphasizing what is in verse 14, that he who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God. You could be a real scoundrel. You could bring your sacrifice, you could bring the best of sacrifices, a yearling bull. You could bring this to the temple. Everybody would see, my goodness, this guy can afford a lot. You could bring that to the temple and have it slaughtered, and everybody would see this. And your heart could be as black as anything. When Jesus sacrifices himself, this means that he is sacrificing himself as God truly desires, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We tend to think of spiritual as something in the air. Something maybe that I feel in my heart. But it needs to be understood of as being something that is truly related to the Holy Spirit. Something that points us to Jesus. Something that does not let go of the fact that we have a flesh and blood Savior who came in flesh and blood like yours and mine to redeem us from our flesh and blood sins. real sins acted out in real time, real sins contemplated in our black hearts, real sins where we wonder, can I get away with this? And in our heart of hearts, we know that we have thought these things. That's not spiritual. That is deadly. But our Lord Jesus comes to give the truly spirit-filled sacrifice, which only he can give. In the first hymn that we had this morning, Not All the Blood of Goats on Jewish Altars Slain, it indicates something that comes up right away in the book of Leviticus. When you brought this offering to the temple, whatever it may be, a yearling bull, or if you can't afford it, nothing more than doves and something of that sort, you put your hand on the head of that beast, whatever it was, and you said, basically, I am a sinner, but here is a substitute whose life will be taken in place of mine. That's what is to take place then in the person of our Lord Jesus. That he is the one who fulfills everything that God had desired in the Old Testament, and especially like it says, I think it's in the third verse, yes, my faith would lay its hand on that dear head of thine, while as a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. Our Lord Christ was prefigured and the image of what he would do was what was taking place with all of those sacrifices for year after year, day after day. Because the book of Hebrews underscores this very definitely. None of those sacrifices took away sin. They had to be repeated. And the priesthood had to be replaced at each generation. Aaron died, there had to be a generation to follow him. He was the first high priest. There had to be others. And each of them died in the course of time and had to be replaced. Here our Lord Jesus is the one perfect high priest who gives the one perfect spiritual offering. That it's in accord with the Holy Spirit, because he, our Lord Jesus, is the only one who truly pleases God the Father. In a way, the whole Christian faith is about regaining the Holy Spirit, because that is the thing we lost through the fall into sin. We lost life. Oh, Adam and Eve were walking around in the garden after they sinned. They ran over and hid in the bushes and so on when they thought God was coming to talk to them. They were dead, spiritually dead. And the only thing that gave them life was the promise that God spoke in their hearing, but directed actually at Satan. You will bruise the seed of the woman will come, and you will bruise his heel, and he will crush your head. That's the thing that gave them hope. And it was hope beyond just living in the Garden of Eden again, because they got booted out of there. It was so that they would have life everlasting. That's the eternal inheritance that's spoken of in this text, that our Lord Jesus is the one who comes with the redemption price to address the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. After all, we say in the Nicene Creed, we call the Holy Spirit the Lord, which means he's true God, and that he's the giver of life. That he's the one who comes to us in our baptism. He's the one who gives us life as nothing else can. What Jesus came to do was truly done in the flesh. But because it's done in faithfulness, it is a spiritual offering. It is something done in the Spirit. It's not seen, because what do people see on Good Friday? They see this fellow being tortured and hung on a cross to die. He's right there with others who are being tortured and left to die. Now he probably is getting what he deserved. That's the way the human heart looks at these things. But thankfully, by the Holy Spirit, we have a new heart, that the one who is in the midst of thieves and murderers is the one who comes at God's will, that he is the one who comes to meet what it is that God desires of mankind. And so, being a Christian is much more than just simply having some spiritual obligations, if you want to call it that. Being a Christian means that we understand that our Lord Christ came in place of me. Everything boils down to what I need, and I need a Savior. I need someone who comes to address my sins and what it is that separates me from God in heaven. All of those Old Testament sacrifices find their fulfillment in Jesus as the New Testament sacrifice. All that Old Testament priesthood finds its fulfillment in Jesus, who is the perfect high priest. The Old Testament tabernacle and temple is fulfilled in the fact that God's Son brings his blood into the presence of God in that temple, like it says, made without hands, into the presence of God, and shows that he is the one who has been sacrificed for us. What happened at the Passover? Blood had to be put over the doorposts and the doorway to each home of the people who were leaving Israel, so that all of the children of Israel would be passed over by the angel of death. God fulfills in his Son the very promise that was made there, that his Son would come to die in place of all of us. He came as the perfect temple itself. After all, he says in John chapter 2, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. In the end, Christ Jesus is the true temple of God. He's the true high priest, and he is the true sacrifice. Everything boils down to him. Everything is concentrated in him. And without him, there is no faith. Those who would oppose our Lord Christ, as we see in the gospel reading for today, don't want to see Jesus there. They want to put themselves in place of Jesus. Not that they can give a perfect sacrifice of perfection of life, but because they think they have already fulfilled everything that the law demands. That is blindness itself. That is the blindness of sin and spiritual pride. No, it's our Lord Jesus who comes to fulfill the desire of the Father. And in only in Christ Jesus do we see the Spirit truly active in giving life. He hinted at it in the various places in his public ministry when he raised people from the dead, when he gave people sight and gave the lame the ability to walk again, and those without speech the ability to speak, and all of the different things that Jesus did. But in the end, it's all because what our Lord Christ has done in giving himself that he gives us true life, life that will go beyond this lifetime, the inheritance that he's promised, life everlasting. It's only by the Spirit that has been given to us in our baptism we start to grasp who it is that hangs on the cross. Jesus is this mediator, like the word comes up in verse 15. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of his death for the redemption of the transgressions from the first covenant. Mediator is a go-between. That strip of grass on the interstate between eastbound and westbound lanes, that's the median, that's the thing in the middle. Jesus is the mediator, the one in the middle. Takes our sins to himself and goes to the cross. He presents his lifeblood to the Father and says, "I've suffered for their sin." Then he turns to us and he says, "Here is your life. It's in my blood given up for you." And he gives us in the Lord's Supper the very thing that we need. This offering that he gave before the Father, he now presents to us. And he says, "This is for the remission of your sins." This is to take away what it is that you have done and how sinful you are. When Jesus offers himself on the cross, that's the thing that has to be accomplished before anything else. Now he comes to us, and he says, I am a real flesh and blood person who is also the Son of God, and I have given up my life for your benefit. And I've done this because I want to reconcile you to the Father. And so this spiritual offering that Jesus gives is something very real and very tangible. Some of the artwork that comes to us from the Church of the Middle Ages is very graphic about this, but it's very helpful. It shows Jesus on the cross, wounded, bleeding, dying. And in some of the depictions, it shows angels there with a cup to catch the blood of Christ as it comes from his wounds. To help us understand that the lifeblood that was given up at the cross is what is given to us when we come before our Lord in the sacrament of the altar. Now he's giving it to us, saying, this is for the remission of your sins. This forgiveness that I won at the cross is being given to you now to take away everything that bothers your conscience and everything that is destructive of your faith in the future that God has planned for you. Our Lord Jesus poured out at the cross everything that was necessary to redeem us from sin and death. It's true. Different people have said down through the ages, one drop of Christ's blood would have covered our sin. But Jesus puts himself in a position so that we understand that he was rejected in place of us. Everything that was offensive to God from us was placed on him. So that when he is put in the tomb, we understand that our sin is put away. And then as we look forward to Easter, we understand, here's the one who's victorious for me. Here's the one who fulfills the claim against Satan, that even though Satan would crush his heel, our Lord would crush his head. In verse 12 of the text for today, not with the blood of calves and goats, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. There's one sacrifice and one sacrifice only that makes a difference. And that is the one that Christ Jesus makes on Good Friday. Then as the writer of the Hebrews goes on a little bit later in this same chapter, he says, for Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, that is the tabernacle or later on the temple. He says, these are only copies of the true tabernacle, but he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, that he should, not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of an offering, but that he would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Our Lord Jesus turns to us in his holy word and says, see, I have done this for you. This is for your benefit. This blood of the New Testament is poured out for you, and now it is given to you at my altar. Now you are gathered in my presence and you receive the remission of sins, the removal of sins, which means that you have been given life. And so everything that the Son accomplished before the Father is now real. It is hidden, and yet it's real. It'll be openly revealed on the last day. But for the time being, we take it on faith that what our Lord promises in his holy word is true. And so, like it says in the Catechism, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. From chapter 4 of Hebrews, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May our Heavenly Father preserve us in this faith, now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.